Hello. So this talk is going to be based on work that I've been involved with in over the past year, mostly with Marcela, Carlos, Stefania Gori, and Lian Tao, and Ian Lo on one of the papers. Okay, so first, a brief outline. Well, what is the motivation for looking at enhanced gamma-gamma rate? And, well, the new results and the Higgs discovery. So first off, I'm going to talk a little bit about what is required in the MSSM to be able to get a Higgs mass of about 125 GeV. Then I will talk about the production and decays of this Higgs, and specifically focusing on the contributions due to stows and stops. One of the issues that we'll see can come up is if you have light stows which are going to impact your gamma-gamma rate, then that can cause issues with your electroweak vacuum. And so one has to consider what really are the limits due to vacuum stability and how that is going to constrain how much enhancement, et cetera, you can get on the different rates. And then if I have time, I will talk briefly about the NMSSM. All right, so the recent experimental results. We have the Higgs discovery in July. And CMS and ATLAS both see the Higgs at around 125, 126 GeV. There's a slight discrepancy between the gamma-gamma and ZZ channels, but hopefully they'll figure that out. But the really exciting thing, at least for me, is that they see a possibly enhanced gamma-gamma rate. And ATLAS has recently updated their results, and they see 1.8 times the standard model rate. And well, CMS has not updated it recently, but that's also pretty high, 1.5. Okay, so we're going to take that as fact and then go with it. All right. So the questions are, can SUSY accommodate a mass of the Higgs of around 125 GeV? And can you have an enhanced gamma-gamma rate decoupled from the WWU and ZZ, assuming that other things are looking pretty standard model-like? Okay, so supersymmetry, we all know and love. So you have, you know, the minimal particle content. You're going to have super partners to all your standard model particles. And there's, you know, a bunch of really nice things about SUSY, which I'm sure all of you know about, so not going to go there. Let's go into what precisely the Higgs mass will depend on in the MSSM. So you have the two Higgs SU2 doublets, phi1, phi2. You can have the two CP even Higgses with mixing angle alpha, the one CP odd A, and the charged Higgs pair. Then you, of course, have the tangent beta, which is the ratio of the VEVs. At tree level, the one Higgs doublet couples only to the down quarks and the other couples only to the up quarks. So up and down sectors are diagonalized independently, and so the Higgs interactions remain flavor diagonal at tree level. Now, the couplings of these Higgses will depend on basically alpha and beta and ratios of, you know, sine alpha, cosine beta, et cetera. In SUSY, generically, at the tree level, the standard model-like Higgs is naturally light. However, the others can be heavy and roughly degenerate, which is like the decoupling limit. Okay. So, however, radiative corrections to the standard model-like Higgs are very important because they occur because of incomplete cancellations in the loops from sparticles and particles. So the main effect is going to be due to the stops. And here I have an approximation for the Higgs mass at two-loop in the moderate to large values, in the moderate to large tangent beta limit. And one of the points here is that this Higgs mass depends quadratically and quartically on the stop mixing, AT or XT, and only has a log dependence on the average stop mass scale, M SUSY. Okay, so XC plays a very important role. So there's a long list of two-loop computations, etc. And basically, the point is that with these two-loop corrections, the Higgs mass is generally, you know, stays at most about 130 GeV. And if you looked at the Higgs mass as a function of tangent beta, you see that you really need to be at slightly larger values of tangent beta, whether it's minimal or maximal mixing, which is the XT. And again, this is looking at the same picture in the XT versus the Higgs mass plane. And the two lines here are tangent beta 3 and 30. And you again see that to get 125-ish Higgs mass, you need to be at large values of mixing and also large tangent beta. So those are going to be the two things that I'm going to want to have. Large stop mixing and moderate to largest tangent beta. Okay, there are additional effects that you can have at large tangent beta due to S bottoms and Staus. Not really going to go into any detail here, but the point is that both of these corrections are negative. I can, you know, lower the Higgs mass, and the effect generally for light Staus is a few GeV. Okay, so let's look now at the AT dependence. So for larger values of tangent beta, this is showing, you know, in the MQ3, MU3 plane, contours of the stop masses, that's the dashed black lines, and then these green lines are the AT values required such that your Higgs mass is, say, around 125. And the point is that if you, well, first that you see that there's really not much of a lower limit on the stops. You can, at least the light stop. You can make it as light as you want as long as you have like a hierarchy between MQ3 and MU3. And so what you're going to end up having in that case, if you wanted to have light stops, is that you're going to have a hierarchy in MQ3, MU3, and AT is approximately the order of MQ. Okay, so now let's move on to cross-sections and rates. So the event rate is going to depend on three quantities, which is, you know, the production of the Higgs, and the Higgs decaying into standard model like particles, and then what the total width is. So all of these three quantities can be affected by new physics. And the point is that if the standard model rate is modified, then the total width is modified as well. And if you look at the branching ratios, this is particularly true for the WW rate for high Higgs masses and the BB rate for the low Higgs masses. And for 125 GeV, so the dominant one is BB. So if you impact the BB width, you're going to really change things a lot. Okay. So first, let's just look at how can you change the diphoton width without, you know, changing anything else. Well, the Higgs decay into photons proceeds via charged particle loops. So what do you need? You need something which is charged but not colorless. And that's going to generally impact nothing else then. So we're going to look at light Staus. So genetically, the amplitude, the contribution from the Staus goes as the derivative of the determinant of the Staus matrix with respect to log of V. And for equal soft masses, you can see that it basically will grow for light stop masses, and it's also proportional to the mixing, which is mu tangent beta. So you make the mixing term as large as you want, and you can enhance this amplitude. So just for reference, the WW and the top standard model contribution to this comes to minus 13. It's a number, I mean, we'll talk about it later on. But in any case, the point here, the light Staus contributions, the Staus contribution will be relevant if you have light Staus with large mixing. Okay. What about light stops and the gamma-gamma rate? So stops will contribute to gamma-gamma and to gluon fusion. And they contribute in a similar way to the amplitude, at least the functional form. In the limit we're going to be interested in, which is, you know, consistent with the 125 GeV Higgs, which is, like I said before, 18 MQ of the same order, but much, much larger than MU, and large tangent beta. This amplitude is going to depend on this ratio of AT to MQ. And in fact, whether, you know, this amplitude is positive or negative is going to depend on whether this ratio is larger or smaller than MQ. So in gluon fusion, the dominant contribution from the standard model is from the top, and it's of order 4. The stops, like I said, enhance or suppress gluon fusion, and the contribution from the stops is going to come as twice this delta A factor here. Now, in the diphoton width, like I said in the previous slide, the standard model contribution is minus 13, and the light stops here will have the opposite effect as on gluon fusion. So if the light stop effect adds to the top contribution, because the W and top are of opposite sign in the gamma-gamma, it's going to suppress the gamma-gamma. And it's going to come with a factor of 8/9 times delta A. So one point is that you're going to always have a trade-off between gluon fusion and gamma-gamma. If you enhance one, you're going to suppress the other. If you suppress one, you're going to enhance the other. And, Yeah, we don't know. We don't know which one it is. So both options are there, and we're going to look at both things. Well, this is because I want to look at light stops. If I want to, if you raise up, so the requirement is to have 125 GeV Higgs, you can either have, you know, if your light stop is light, then you're in this region where you have the hierarchy between MQ and MU. If your light stop is not so light, I mean, you make it larger, then your MQ and MU are not so different. They're both heavier. And then the point is that you're not going to really have much of an effect on gluon fusion, right? Yeah, but that's going to affect the S bottoms, and you don't want the S bottoms too light, right? Because then that would mean that your MQ is small. Yes, yes. No, sorry, yeah. Okay, so continuing. Okay. Yeah, then you could, if you could evade the S-bottom bounds, then yeah, there's no reason from the Higgs mass constraint that you couldn't have the opposite hierarchy. But I'm thinking, it doesn't matter. It's going to be the heavier soft mass that's going to, if you have a hierarchy between the masses, MQ and MU. Yes. Yes. Sure. But for right now, I'm just assuming that this is the way I'm doing things. Yeah. Okay. So what was that? Okay. So the point is that you're going to have, generically speaking, this trade-off between gluon fusion and gamma-gamma, and also that the effect of the light stops is going to be more significant on the gluon fusion than gamma-gamma. And you can see that by comparing the relative contribution. So, you know, gluon fusion, it's 2 delta A compared to 4. And here, to gamma-gamma, it's 8/9 delta A compared to minus 13. So just, you know, if delta A is the same, then you see gluon fusion is going to be impacted more. Sorry? I would believe it should be the same. It should be, I mean, this story should be exactly the same for stops and S bottoms if you took them lambda types. Yes. Yeah. Because this 8 9ths comes from the charge. It's 2 times the charge squared, right? Okay, so additional effects. You have mixing effects in the CP even Higgs sector. So these can have a very relevant effect on the production rates and decay branching ratios. And in most regions of parameter space, the mixing effects conspire to enhance the branching ratio into BB, therefore suppressing the decays into photons and gauge bosons. So, this is just the Higgs mass matrix, and like I said before, the couplings depend on the mixing angle alpha, which is going to depend, on the relative magnitude of this MA versus the loop factors. So this here is the loop term, and what we're going to concentrate on is this last term here, due to the light Staus, which has this dependence on A tau. And here I'm presenting a plot in the MA A tau plane of the ratio of HBB to its standard model value. So the point is that if you play with these parameters a little bit, you can, if you suppress BB by a little, a few percent, you can significantly impact all the other ratios. And again, you're going to have this trade-off between the values of MA and A tau. So because these are competing, so it's MA, minus MA squared in the loop term, plus the loop 1-2 term. So the larger the value of MA, the smaller the effect of the loop term. It depends what you want to play with. No, it doesn't have to be coming from the mixing effects. I'm going to show a lot of different plots in the different scenarios that you can have. No mixing, or mixing, et cetera, et cetera. This is tangent beta 60. Yes? Sorry, say again? Will you still see the suppression in BB? For slightly smaller values, yes. Right, because this is MA squared tangent beta, and this is going to have a tangent beta too, right? Mm-hmm. This doesn't have light stops necessarily. This doesn't have anything to do with the light, the mass of the stop mass. That's the Staus.
Yeah, the Staus. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Staus. Yes. So if you decrease this tangent beta, then you would need even lighter Staus. Yes. But you want to have the Staus bigger than say 90-95 GeV because that's a left limit, right? Okay. So now, this is showing in the mu ML3 plane and the ME3 ML3 plane the ratios to the standard model of the gluon fusion times gamma gamma. Okay, here we do not have the light stops. Okay, this is the effects just due to the light Staus having large mu tangent beta and looking at MA and A tau included in this. You see that if you wanted to enhance the rate, then you want to, these red dashed lines are the masses, contours of the masses of the lightest Staus, and the green lines are basically your, the gamma-gamma. So if you want to have, you want to have as large a possible rate as possible for gamma-gamma, you see that you want to have the lightest possible Staus mass and also have as large a value of mu as possible. Okay? And then this is for non-zero A tau. And so in this, rolled into this, is the fact that A tau is changing the BB branching ratio, and this can this is going to affect gamma gamma W of mu ZZ together. However, it's not that much of an effect on the ZZ. I mean, there's a slight suppression, but not too much. Okay, this is another way of looking at the same information, and now I'm going to include some of the light stop effects. So this is comparing gamma gamma and ZZ in the ME3 plane. And let's see, okay, the light tau mass was fixed at 90 GeV, so along this curve I'm varying mu. Okay, and tangent beta is also fixed. And the three different colors denote three different values of A tau, 1500, 0, and minus 1500. Okay, so A tau equal to 0, of course, is the one which has no impact from the mixing. And also, so the difference between the top and the bottom plot here is the stop parameters. Okay, so the stop on the top plot here has a stop mass of 140 GeV. Okay, and the one over here has a 500 GeV stop. And additionally, the value of MA over here is 1.5, and here is 1. Okay, so if you remember, I said, you know, larger values of MA mean smaller impact due to A tau. So that can be seen by the spreading in the lines. So this is a larger value of MA, so therefore the variation in A tau causes a smaller deviation between the positive and minus values. And here, there's a smaller value of MA, so the A tau has a larger impact. Then, if you look at the left side of the plot, this is the effect of due to the light stops on gluon fusion. Basically, because as you're going to the left of this plot, mu is basically going to zero, and you're decoupling your light stop effects from this whole picture. And the fact that the stops are light is you know, changing a gluon fusion, and so gamma gamma and ZZ are both seeing an enhancement of like 20% here. And over here you have stops of 500 GeV, so you know, you see that this is basically going to go to 1. Okay, so now I'm going to now look at light stop styles and Higgs mixing by varying the stop masses. And for this plot, I set tangent beta to 70, the style mass is 95. This here is a plot of the ratio of AT over MQ3 versus the light stop mass. And basically in this regime over here, you're going to get consistency with a Higgs mass of about 125. And this range over here is more because of theoretical uncertainty in calculating the Higgs mass. And, so the blue line in this is where you're going to have gluon fusion suppression, and the red line is where you have gluon fusion enhancement. And here is the ratio to the standard models of both the gamma gamma and glu glu, again corresponding to these values. So you see that for light stops, I mean, you can really suppress gluon fusion, and that's what's corresponding to the gamma gamma enhanced branch. And again, you see gluon fusion enhancement corresponds to the gamma gamma suppression. And of course, the rate you're going to see is the product of those two. Uh-huh. I'm going to talk about the stop. I'll show you the stop branching ratios, because they're going to get impacted by the fact that you have the light stars in there. So, Okay, so maybe what I should mention is that over here, so you have this difference, so you know, you have the gluon fusion and the gamma-gamma, and you see that the gamma-gamma rate can be pretty enhanced. Now in VBF, the point is that the gamma-gamma rate you would see would just be these values, not the product of this times this. I'm going to talk about different values. That's exactly what I'm going to talk about right now. I mean, sort of all interrelated, so I wanted to show some of these results. So if you, so the one of the things here is that I took the value of mu in these plots. I mean, I'm skipping ahead, but if you put the vacuum stability constraint, then the mu is like 320 is the largest you're allowed for tangent beta 70. And so I put that in there. And then that is that pushes down your gamma gamma, right? If you didn't have that limit on mu, then you could, you know, this would be a lot bigger. Okay? But I'm going to talk about vacuum stability in a minute. Okay. So if you have light stars and large mu tangent beta, you have this issue of, you know, maybe having an unstable vacuum. And so here, you know, you just have the scale potential. And the point is that the term that can destabilize your potential is mu y tau. Okay, that can push your Stau's to develop a VEV. So like we said, you know, we need large mu tangent beta. And that, by definition, is saying this can happen. However, there's something which can make things a little bit better, which is that the gamma-gamma rate, et cetera, depends on mu tangent beta. And the vacuum stability depends on mu y tau and y tau. I mean, you're going to have the mu y tau and then the y tau squared term. And here, you know, the delta tau effects can become important because, you know, that's the relationship between y tau and tangent beta. And, you know, what you want to have is the maximum possible tangent beta for the lowest y tau, right? So we're going to put this effect in, and actually it helps things a lot, and you'll see why the 70, and we'll even go to 105. Okay. So here are... Not completely, and that was something I was not going to really talk about. It's still work in progress, but because again, for the A tau tau, etc., you have the branching ratios open up to having the Stau 1, Stau 1, and the Stau 1, Stau 2 decays, and then that can alleviate the constraints. okay. So this here is showing basically your mu tangent beta and m tau. Oh, I forgot to mention. So what we're going to use as a parameter here is tangent beta effective, which is basically the real tangent beta divided by 1 plus delta tau, because that's the one which is directly proportional to y tau, which is what comes into the vacuum stability. So just to keep in mind, delta tau for you know, tangent beta tau effective going from 60 to 140. Is like 0.15 to 0.25 negative. And so the real tangent beta is, you know, something like 85 or 75% of this tangent beta effective, which means that this tangent beta tau effective 140 corresponds to a tangent beta of 105. And I was looking at 90 tangent beta tau effective, which corresponds to tangent beta 70. So those are, so the results we were previously looking at were somewhere in the middle of these two lines here. So this is, you know, the constraints from vacuum stability on this mu tangent beta tau effective versus the light Stau mass. And the first plot here is for A tau 0 and MA equal to 2 TeV. Oh, and I think I forgot to mention that A tau and MA can also impact the vacuum stability because HD ends up getting a negative VEV, and so A tau tends to destabilize the vacuum. However, MA still has a positive contribution, so MA makes it better. So the plot here is, you know, having positive a tau 1 TeV and MA 1 TeV. So if you compare this with this, these two plots, you can see that a tau actually has a pretty significant effect on the stability. So, you know, the I'm going to show you that. I'll show you that in just a few minutes. Okay, so here, so if you compare this and this, you see that, you know, if you're looking at a stop mass, style mass of like 95, you know, you're like 39,000, and for that, if you have the a tau positive, it's like 31,000. So it's it pushes down your mu quite a bit. However, if you look at R gamma gamma in the same plane for those same exact values of mu, what happens is if you compare these two, again, these are the same corresponding to the plots I was showing before, is that even though the mu tangent beta was much lower for positive a tau, there is this compensating effect due to lowering the MA. And so the ratios don't change that much. I mean, okay, of course, you get a 10% effect approximately, but it's not as much as it seemed like from just looking at the values of mu. Okay. So now this is a picture of the gluon fusion signs of gamma gamma, which satisfies the vacuum stability constraint. For tangent beta 70, okay, which is the effective tangent beta 90 in the previous plots. So here on the left is for a tau 0, and here you have a tau 1 TeV. And so you see that basically the largest values you can sort of have is about, you know, for the lowest stop masses is like 40% approximately. So if you wanted to have enhancement larger than about 40%, then you need even larger tangent beta. And so here is the same plot for tangent beta 105. And here you can get up to like 60% or so. It'll narrow it. I mean, the way the Higgs mass, the Higgs mass is a function of AT. I mean, it looks like this. So if you picked a specific value, you get two values of AT that satisfy it. And, you know, one is larger, one is smaller. That'll be one band here, and this band, it's 122.7. Same. It's 122.7, 122.7, and it goes to like the max value somewhere in the middle.
No, but the point is that the 125, this is not the real physical mass, but with a certain.
In the from, yeah.
So this is not a variation of the real physical
mass. Yes. But if you had a precise calculation of a way to compute the Higgs mass absolutely accurately without any uncertainty, then you could draw two lines here corresponding to whichever mass you wanted, and then be like, okay, here or here. But I don't know how to do that yet. So for now, we're saying we're somewhere in here, and depending on what the exact value is, you can be either suppressed or enhanced. Okay, so what was I saying here? Yeah, I think. So to get 50, 60%, you need to be tangent beta 105. All right, this is showing the corresponding BB and tau tau. The top plots here are for tangent beta 70, and these are again for tangent beta 105. And you see that, so this is for, you know, non-zero a tau, because, I mean, I wanted to see the effect due to the mixing on the BB. you have a slight either suppression or enhancement in BB. And again, this is the gluon fusion suppression, and this is gluon fusion enhancement. And the corresponding the tau-tau will have a larger suppression, actually, because, so, I mean, this is, you know, order a couple percent, and tau-tau, you know, it's a few more. At larger values of 105, you can get larger suppression, again, in both these quantities. So this all depends on, I mean, it looks like the rates are standard model-like, but just to get an idea of what we would be talking about in these quantities. So this, for larger values of tangent beta, for example, in the tau-tau, you can get, you know, order 15-ish percent. And then these are, for the same parameters, this is the WW branching ratios. Again, you see, you know, you can have slight suppression, and enhancement, and then at tangent beta 105, this curve gets shifted up and you have larger effects. Okay, and I think this is what you were asking before about, you know, having light stops. Then you have the issue of, you know, whether they've been ruled out or not. The point is that because you also have these light styles, you can have this this channel open up, which is the style B neutrino. And it can be pretty relevant, I mean, you know, 60% or so. And so that is going to allow you to open up this region around 120 to 140 GeV. It's like 100, I think. Okay, sorry, yeah, this should be cut. That was just to sort of show this. It's okay. Okay, and I guess the other thing in this is the specific value of the Higgs mass, the variation in the uncertainty of the Higgs mass doesn't really do anything to this plot. Like, there's a slight thickness to these bands that's due to the variation and really doesn't affect anything. Okay, and then I think somebody else asked about the perturbativity issues with that, with this whole, you know, going to really, really large values of tangent beta. So this is a plot of y tau and yb versus the scale. The yb values are dashed and y tau are solid lines. And y tau is actually what's going to constrain your scale. And so the 105 values was tangent beta tau one tau effect of 140, and that would correspond to 10 to the 7. So, yeah, because you have the delta B. This is because you have the delta B effects in there too, so that shifts your. I mean, so this is written specifically in tangent beta tau effective. You could define tangent beta B effective similarly. And the point is, once you put delta B in there, the initial value of YB is much lower than what you would naively approximate from just the tree level relationship between YB and tangent beta. So that pushes. What do you mean separating? Am I running them separately?
Yeah, the,
no.
The top, you
yeah.
The normal tangent beta is this large, it blow up very quickly, right?
No, the top. Not that I not remember. I looked at the top too, and it was completely fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The tau is the one which has the issues. The top, I mean, I know I made the plots just to check, to make sure, but they were perfectly fine. I just. So. No, they were very well behaved. I mean, if you want, I can show you the plots later on because I have them.
Mm-hmm.
It is complicated, but like I said, I have the plots for that. So if you're interested, we can, I mean, I can show them to you. Because I was running, these are run a two loop, and all three of them, of course, run together. So I, you know, have all three of them. It's just that the white top was just not very interesting at all. And so. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, so I'm almost done. I mean, I just have a couple of slides on the NMSSM. This is just to say that in the NMSSM, the requirement of having a large tangent beta is really not there. In fact, you need a low tangent beta to really get the Higgs mass. You can have the Chargino contribution to the gamma-gamma instead of the light stars, which wouldn't contribute for the small tangent beta. Because you have basically this extra parameter lambda, which gives you a lot more freedom to play with things. And then the modification of the Higgs into, either gamma-gamma, et cetera, is via mixing in the Higgs sector. And again, you have this lambda parameter that induces this. And here you can see the gamma-gamma versus the ZZ, and this is BB versus gamma-gamma. And so you can see that there is a correlation between this. So, as BB is suppressed, gamma-gamma goes up, and then, gamma-gamma and VV, ZZ go up together. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm not.
This is from a paper by you, Jack.
I don't remember the details. Yeah, I don't know the details.
Well, there are plots in the paper. They're fairly modest.
Yeah, I don't know the exact money. All right. So in conclusion, in the MSSM, 125 GeV Higgs is consistent with light stops and large stop mixing. And so for light stops, we basically want AT order MQ, much, much larger than MU. And the rates can be modified by mixing or by light fermions. So you can have the effect due to light stars, which is, at large mu tangent beta, that's going to enhance the diphoton rate without really changing anything else. The light stops are going to impact both gluon fusion and gamma-gamma. And, they always have opposite effects on gamma-gamma and gluon fusion. And then you can have the mixing effects, which suppress bottom quark rates, and that can further enhance gamma-gamma, but that will have some effect on WW and ZZ. Now, one thing that I think is interesting is that if there is a difference in the diphoton rates due to gluon fusion VBF, this could point to light stops. However, the converse is not necessarily true. Meaning that just because gluon fusion and VBF have the same rate does not mean that you don't have light stops. Then also looked at charge breaking vacuum and looked at the constraints on the maximum enhancement possible, pointed out that delta tau effects are important and what kind of scales are we talking about, looking at perturbativity of the Yukawas that we want for large enhancement. One point is that this we specifically looked at the constraints on mu in the MSSM, but maybe there's that's what really constrains what your enhancements are. However, if there was some way to dynamically control mu, then maybe one could enhance things a lot more. Right, because that's where you're saying, okay, I can only get a 50-60% enhancement for this value of tangent beta. Okay, and then just, you know, in the NMS SM, you have the extra degrees of freedom, so, you know, you can do more. You can play around with parameters more. Okay, thank you. What are the conditions necessary? I mean, okay. So, let me see which plot is a good one to show. Yeah, but it's not going to be exactly the same with the Higgs mass constraint. I mean, so you have the gluon fusion contribution comes as right here, right? It's the then the contribution goes away. There's no contribution from the stops to the gluon fusion R gamma gamma. Yes, I actually kept the dark matter plots. I have lots of, okay, yeah. So, this is Rayleigh density for the light style mass versus the chi 1, and so you need to have, I mean, with these parameters we looked at, the neutrino mass of, you know, 30, 40 GeV, something like that.
There's no other questions.